item on the agenda, which would be the report from the oversight group on illegal mining. Documents were circulated to yourself either late last week or early this week. But who will go through this report and then later then decide on the way forward. But let me say this, that we have extended the invitation to all those members that went to the trip who are not necessarily part of the committee now because of the changes that have been affected by the parties on the portfolio committee. And some of them might join in the process. Then let's discuss the report, and after that we can then make assessment of the actual trip, because there are certain experiences that committee members had, besides the actual work of illegal mining, investigating illegal mining, but in terms of the trip itself, and there are some initiatives that I've taken, which then, if they meet your approval, I will then proceed on your behalf in relation to the arrangement of the trip and what actually happened during the process. Now, having said that, I think we fairly know each other, but let's, for the last time, make an introduction so that we reinforce it. My name is Fred Cohen. I'm the chairperson of this committee. On my right is
Antonio Ramos, secretary of
the committee. Philip Texter, on the phone. From their office.
David and Silva, David Chief Inspector.
Mr. Mimi, National Union of Mining Workers.
Our guest down there, can you introduce yourself, please?
It's Anna Majah, who's the Waiting newspaper. Sandra Erica, PMD.
Thank you very much. The report, maybe we should discuss it page by page and make comments, or maybe first we can do whatever comments and then come back to the actual document. Remembering, honorable members, that we are dealing with quite a serious situation that poses a serious threat to the country in a number of ways. One is that this phenomenon of illegal mining is taking away lives of people in the country. In the main, those would be who are working class people, who some of them are recruited on the basis that they are coming to work for mine, and they only discover in the process that indeed they have not been properly hired by the mining company, but they are hired by people who are dealing in the mining situation. And unfortunately for them, some of them, it's extremely difficult for them to pull out at that stage, and they end up therefore putting their lives in line for no benefit to them in the you know, the whole situation was triggered nationally by the death of 86 people in Vancom at one go, and we informed that in a number of other mines quite a number of people that died, you know, something like 30 people that died in the Bangkok and other areas. Secondly, we have a situation where we leave our miners from workers to management are exposed to extreme danger because these illegal miners are people who are conducting their operations being heavily armed. And as a result, they threaten the workers in the shafts, they threaten management, they threaten security personnel in the mines. To an extent that in some mines, they would engage, you know, in shootouts between themselves and the mine security. And also, they are not afraid to take police head on once they are underground, once they are confronted by police. So you have that is also a phenomenon. Thirdly, we are losing as a country no less than 39 million rand worth of gold production per year, which gets sold in this illegal manner, quite an illicit, highly organized fashion. And in that situation, the mine houses are losing. In that situation, the country at large is losing in terms of the tax revenues that would have been accruing should that have been the legal, you know, production and extraction of our minerals. And indeed, this is something that can never be, you know, allowed and tolerated. So in a sense, we are slowly gravitating to a situation where the countries have to run so by criminals in this industry. And as a result, it requires all of us, both in parliament and the executive, to basically apply our minds to it and come up with a very tangible, you know, solutions to deal with the matter decisively. Having said that, I'm just conditioning ourselves so that when we discuss this, we must know that we are faced with quite a serious challenge, which is a national before us. And therefore, I would allow members if they want to make their comments, but also here we have a document before us that we must interrogate. Those who are on the trip will have a clear recollection. But also those who are not on the public can be able to pick up some areas on the document based on their knowledge and experience on the can I open the discussion generally and then we come back to specific on the document? But members, feel free to quote on the document if you wish, and then we then come back to the document and say what to do based on the document. Thank you. Over to you. Honorable Smith, Honorable Machinella.
Thank you. I wasn't one of the delegates on that committee, on that visit, but, you know, one thing that's quite clear, that if you own or have control over a certain object, you have to ensure that object is safe, not only to your own employees, but to other people in the vicinity. Similar to anything. If you own a motor vehicle and like it, but drive it in a particular way. If you have a house, you've got to maintain it. So, to a certain extent, I understand the problem, but to the other extent, I do not, because if you have shops under your control, it's your duty to ensure that they are maintained. And that's a continuous exercise. It's not a once-off exercise. It's a process. It's not an event. On the other side, I think, you know, the economic climate is of such a nature that the issues are or the activities are stimulated by economic environment, not due to any fault from the act. So one can expect that there's what the motive could be for such activities, but eventually, you know, it's the responsibility of the particular mine house to ensure that those shafts the main full-time detained and then unauthorized access I'll be granted. That's the bottom line. There might be permutations to that argument, but that's the bottom line.
Thank you, Honorable Martina.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I was somehow like to agree with the Honorable Smith. When we got to welcome that lady, when we told her that we were supposed to go to the mine, you could see that there was something that she was hiding. She knew something, and they did not want us to go there. They just couldn't say, no, you can't go there. Why I'm saying this is because even when we went to the mine, there were no security clothing given to us. Only helmets were provided and the lamp. That's all. And we were supposed to go down. And they were also saying that we can't, you can't go in because we did not know that you like to go in. We didn't bring anything and all this and that. But you could see these people were hiding something. And really, I am saying, when I asked about this mine, which are still left with ore, why are they not being rehabilitated? And why were they left? They said because it's dangerous for people to work there. But they themselves know very well that there we've got like what's happening with our friends, rich deposits which are left there. Then there's a way of coming back to get the gold for nothing and not paying tax on the rich. That's my contribution.
Thank you. If there's no motion on the input, Department Bill, please feel free to enter as and when you feel like. If there's no further questions,
thank you very much, Chair. I think on our recommendation, we need to discuss this amendment on the mining, whereby we need to engage the Justice Department to change the legislation. If anybody is found, any mine that goes to the shoot heavy. I think we need to speed up there so that we get rid of this regular activity in the mine. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Let's then engage on the document.
Thank you. I just want to also to mention that as you might have been exposed through the presentation that has been done on the business that we went through, that mainly it's criminal elements that are creating this illegal activity. Starting from the top, these are complex syndicates, and to the bottom, the people who are already doing job. Our main concern is that it's very criminal activities that are taking place. And through the leadership of our minister, this issue was also elevated to the criminal justice cluster, and which they've also raised a concern from that particular level, where the respective ministers will actually say that some things that should be taken in this particular regard, and there were resolutions taken on the way forward after the particular issue. I just thought that the one was also included in more discussion.
Thank you very much. Then let's get to the document.
in the
thank you, Chairperson. On page 2, where but also, when you look at the content of the document in terms of that first part, it is found wanting. It's light, it's empty. Because here, we would expect that the document must elaborate on actually what we were told and what is taking place. How does this phenomenon of illegal mining manifest itself? For example, what kind of shafts are used by these illegal miners? That information is not there. What method of operation do they use? specifically, when you look at how many, because we were taken as land in terms of the input that was given. What is the quantity that we hold in terms of the estimation that we have given? But also the area that the Honorable Matimela raised. You know, it's quite serious and crucial. Where you have a situation where the legislator of the country, when they go out to perform their constitutional duty, they are unable to do that because, one, management of the mine would play into legislation. Two, they are told that they cannot access the shaft, for instance, the Elan shaft, because there are criminals who are waiting, sitting and waiting for them at the bottom of the shaft, so that we can then count on them and hold them hostage. But that thing is only to me because of that. These are very critical, developments. But then this contained in the report will enable the community to take proper decisions in terms of the recommendation of going forward. And that kind of information cannot be left out on the report. It must reflect. So hence I'm saying that in terms of the content, when you look at that paragraph, it's so wanting. It hasn't actually reflect what has happened. As I've said earlier in my opening remarks, but we're dealing with a serious situation. And therefore, we shouldn't just fall short in terms of the future, so that the kind of actions that will decide upon must be understood by anyone out there that it is based on this practical experience of warfare. And that one is very clear that it's all that we were prevented from,
during our constitutional duty as a part of the yes, let me allow other comments on my report, please.
Chapter 2 on the same page, raping more than 2 men in the church and in the food in Sri Lanka, but no men, singing the children of Peter Thomas and his sister. That's also a very great statement. And I would have thought that in terms of the report, there should have been more details to actually indicate what type of charges were repeated, you know, what type of rules were used in terms of whether it was the labor issue, was the criminal issue, how many of them are foreigners, how many of them are locals, you know, exact statistics and reports, detailed reports as to what actually happened, so that one can actually determine if the disciplinary measures taken were stiff enough to can combat the problem. How many of them repeated the criminal acts?
Any other comments on page 2? Yes, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Under the National Union of Mine Workers, I think, especially with the welcome visit, Mr. Shadizun, Patrick Shadizun was also in attendance. I don't think he was appearing there. Shadizun, Patrick Shadizun. Thank you.
Thank you very much. This is demonstrated to me that I don't know whether it's because this report is not for human services and for names of our media, but it's important to show for people that have participated. Any other comments on that page? It's true.
Thank you very much.
Why is
the
report?
While we're still in Telcom, during the presentation there, you remember, Chair, that there was a PDC that teaches us to show another, whereby they were showing some of the illegal miners underground being punished, actually, for breaking some of the rules. I don't know whether it's important also to mention that. They are tortured because some of their, remember they were putting those electric cables in the I thought maybe also
thank you, Chairperson. Also, what was said when we were there, we were shown a person who was taking bread down, which he had ground his body. And also, we were shown a drum that had a lot of stuff in his feet and so on. Stuff which those drums look like, you know, drums which they are using to stand down there. And there's also a father shop down there. And we also told that a loaf of bread is about 100 that also not here. And also we told that the young boys who are supposed to be in school are also taken down for prostitution. They use them down.
Thank you, Honorable Members. Let's then move on to page 3. Honorable Jesse.
Thanks, Chair. You know, as you said, I wasn't on the committee, so I was just relying on reading the report. I'm not disputing anything factually. I'm just a bit worried about the paragraph that deals, and there are a couple of places I might have raised them in the document. it's reference to foreigners and illegal immigrants. I just think we should be careful about how we word it, because there's no doubt that some of the criminals are foreigners. I mean, that's just clear. But, you know, the way the report reads is almost as if, you know, we're implying that criminality is because of the foreigners, when in fact that's not the case. I mean, the criminals are attracted by the ability to do this. So, it's not a factual issue, it's more of a making sure we don't have any kind of xenophobic interpretation of it. I mean, we might say that there are foreigners who are part of this, but, so it's just a general question. So, like on page 3, it says foreigners practicing criminal activities also contribute to the increase in numbers. Now, I don't know what that means. Is it referring to the numbers of residents, the numbers of retrenchments, or, do you know what I'm saying?
Thank you, foreigners. When the presentation was made to us, they told us that people are recruiting people from Lesotho. And when they come there, they don't know. I think the Chairperson in his own statement said that. When they come to Welkom, they think it's a legal job. When they get there, they are kept down there sometimes for more than 2 months before they go out. That's why
Because I think that's exactly the point. What maybe what you should do is have a paragraph that deals with the fact that there are people being recruited from neighboring countries who are brought under false pretenses. There are also criminals who come here opportunistically to do that. And then, of course, there's the general problem related to people getting into the country illegally or so on. And I think if we do it in that way, we'd be more sympathetic to the fact that not every foreigner who's involved in this is a criminal. But, I would be happy with that interpretation. Thank you.
I don't know, but I think that formulation is
In relation to the issue of also the foreigners, I don't know, I'm worried about the way the document is, like a person who hasn't been part of the business. I would have been interested to know as to where do these people end up? Are they interested in them? Do they die? What is the taken home? Are these cases in fine with investigations or what is happening? Because there's some actions to be able to control. Yeah, okay, thank you. And the second is mentioning the second paragraph of the Constitution of the and Criminal Crime Intelligence Unit. I think that paragraph on its own is very vague in terms of the intensity of the problem. It doesn't give much details as to how involved are the police. I would have also expected perhaps a report that indicates as to whether they are operative in any way to the particular mine, and if they are operative to the particular mine, what actions are taken to discipline these people. How strange or not strange, because if we are saying we're losing billions in mining, every year to eat or mining, how involved are the police in making sure that this does come down, that it does come down? There's not much in fact, and I'm sure that we have a participate with what members of the province as well, members of the provincial legislature. I think it's an indicator in terms of that and what is being done in the state of the province, for example, in terms of that. That should have been in detail in the report to actually indicate the intensity of the problem. And also, Chairperson, also saying that repeatedly, myself, the SAPS and the crime intelligence people, I then asked myself, in terms of the law, the act and so on that have been applied from the side of the department. How involved or how assisting are those laws, or how relevant are those laws to the criminal activity that has taken place in terms of ensuring that it is also minimized, as well as the mine owners? How accountable are they being held in terms of criminal activity? What does the law say in terms of that? And how well is this law being applied, if there is any law? And if there is no law, should it be an area of concern to say, if something could have been asked in terms of, what are you doing about it?
Yeah, TEP has been, in addition to what my colleague has just said about SACI, I'm worried about the third paragraph. The third paragraph says they know that the Kingpins are in where? In Johannesburg. Yeah. That is us saying these people are blah, blah, blah. But can't they do something about the people they know? It's just now a report to say, yes, we know where you are. And they come in tomorrow and we again say, yeah, we know who you are. Is it just going to end there like that? Nothing being done by the police. What are the police there for then, if they can't get these people? Because it looks like it's a known, well-known thing. I know Dexter is busy doing that, but I can't go to Dexter.
I'm not Dexter.
Okay, Chris.
I'd be honest. Thank you. So I'm sure that the same sentiment, the way it's worded here, first of all, it should be kept in their briefing. Mentioned that the real target behind the funding of the criminal, I don't think they target, I mean, they're the organizers, the syndicate, or leaders of the check. Now, if they know they're based in Joburg, then surely they get arrested. So they must say that they suspect that they operate mainly from Joburg, because that, you know. Then, secondly, it goes down a bit to say that the kingpins who represent the top level of the criminal hierarchy remain untouched, whereas the lower levels bear the brunt of the law. Now, I don't think you can say that they're the brunt, because they're doing something illegal. So we should say that the lower levels are usually the only ones that are arrested and charged, which the police have indicated. Also, when we had the presentation in the committee, they said that they mainly just the workers and the people in the shop. Then the last sentence about that they stated that the illicit product is purchased by legal gold selling houses. Well, then the same applies. They must be able to stop it if they know. So once again, I think it's what their intelligence telling them, but they don't know specifically that this house or that house, and there may well be other people are involved with it. So I just think we should word it less in a way that makes it sound, because the way it's written sounds as though the police know everything, but they just not doing anything about it.
Thank you, Honorable Matthew. Honorable Corona,
thank you. Whilst we were there, the police were also containing that. Some police were involved, and also the management of the mine. Some were even sent away, suspended. And the people who are being arrested there, they are only charged as trespassers. That's why. So they only pay 50 rand, then they go home. And then the other thing again was that the ones, the illegal miners, pretend that they are ill. And they call an ambulance when they are supposed to go to hospital with the police. Then on the way, they get released. They give the ambulance person or whoever money. Then they are off. They will never be seen again. That's how it operates in there. So it's very difficult to really can be able to get those people who are really involved, because if your own people in the force are doing the very same thing which you are not supposed to, who are you going to trust? And who will you say this person is correct? That's one. Those are some of the difficulties that they come across. Thank you.
One other thing, these people use these small cards when they return from. I know that because it is written here. But if I know that this cat, I call them cats, is responsible for it's a transport for this business, can't I just lock it or put it somewhere where this thing is encouraged in the mind. They know what is happening and they are encouraging it. Because drastic measures should have been taken ages ago. Because they know. I know that if you enter in that gate, I will try by all means to lock that gate and see what means of entering is he going to use. They leave these cards loose there for them to use, and they use them. So what's wrong with that? It is them. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm now worried about the wedding plan.
I think it can be changed according to the rotation made to the king. Yes,
Chairperson, one point that was said in Welkom and was also confirmed in Barbatin. There are some miners legitimate miners who go on leave in Welkom and then the court in Babatim doing it as a mine.
I don't know if I'm now going to be appropriate or not. I know that you are going to go through the documents. But shouldn't there have been a report attached if there were presentations made by the various people on your visit? Shouldn't those reports have been attached to this report? And also the very paragraph, the SAPS paragraph that I'm looking at, if there was a presentation made by the SAPS people, because this looks like they were just commenting, it doesn't look like they were giving a brief detailed picture as to how they are doing their work and how far they are and so on. Shouldn't there be a report that is attached to this? In terms of the presentations that were given,
thank you. Johnny, I think you are in possession of those presentations. Mm-hmm. I think all what members are saying is that over and above the report which some of them will give you, but it's important to also look at the presentation. You are in possession of that.
Yes. But in the case of trust, they didn't make it up. They should be in the case. They didn't have the case in the whole document. In the case of trust.
I think our office is very important that I must also highlight that it leads from, although it leads from page 2.1 under the harmony presentation as well. They highlighted that their employees are playing a major role on assisting on taking the legal minors on the ground. Because sometimes they're being paid 3,000 rand to take each person underground. So they really play a huge role. And if you look at 3.0 as well, use the biometric system to try and get that, and they also introduce the CCTV system to try and get that. And the other thing that is very critical is the issue of the interlinkage of the shops, especially in the Belcom area. They clearly indicated that during our visit that it poses a problem for them to control
We would need to have a section here
that basically characterizes the illegal mining in the that it is an illegal mining that takes place mostly in Jesuit shops. Not a number of them. I think in the meeting, both here in Parliament when we were conducting public hearings and in Belgium itself, the professional tunnels that are interwoven, you know, that then lay open. And within those, there's still gold, there is all that could be the mine. When we ask the question, why and under which circumstances would a shaft be left when it still could be mined? We then said, no, look, big fellows who have got huge overhead, it's uneconomic for them to continue mining. And therefore, they will give that shaft. And then the small scale miners, it's a lucrative business for them. But then not only for the small scale miners, these illegal miners get attracted, you know, to that as a result of using that. So one of the areas was to look at what to do when we come to recommendation. Can we not say to the department that reopen the shaft, encourage the small scale miners to then continue mining there so that we close off this possibility of people coming to steal? And there are other things that we can look at. But I think here we need to characterize that clearly as this illegal mining is taking place in that kind of expression, so that when we come to recommendation, we know that. Then, members, let's move to Impala. Impala with the struggle from page 4 to page 5. Where you would be dealing with the and again here in Impala basically the brief was as we all know that they were attracted by the recent death of 9 who died in the normal process of mining. And it was nothing to do with illegal mining, our business plan. Again, here the report seems to be sharp, quite seriously, falling to, very short. Because we were taken through by both the department as well as the company. In terms of what has actually happened. And this is one area where, when we discuss mining representation, because I think that's one of the areas that this point we have to come to find a way of eliminating or decreasing the level of fatality. Now, here in the presentation by the department, it was quite clear that it was preventable. The mine management also agreed that it was a preventable accident. Why they all, came up with this question? Especially Impala was saying this has broken their good record in terms of suffering. They said it's the worst accident since, their operation, since they have taken lead on the safety issue. In which case, the department agreed that the level, the record of the health and safety in that company is one shining example that they have across the board. But this accident indeed, they have addressed that type of situation. The actual operation, that's where the report journey is not basically given us much, was that normally, they would, before going down, conduct an inspection to ensure that the area is safe, particularly after they have done blasting. In this instance, blasting was done on a Saturday, and on Sunday there was no operation. When they got back on Monday, then the inspection was done. And somebody was doing the inspection with a heated supervisor in this instance, felt that the area is safe to assist. But whilst he was taking this technique. Already he had previously, you know, identified Hassan, where he saw that the Philip, you know, which is called the table in the mining drama, is hanging, and that the pillage, which is called the joint, was taking a toll and was bending, becoming weak. And then the immediate supervisor took a decision to reinforce the pillage and continue the journey. 3 hours later, when the ship was entered, he then looked at the situation and said, no, the decision you have taken is wrong. In fact, you should have evacuated the area completely, because the reinforcement of the pillage here is not going to happen, because already the weight of the stone is already overcoming the strength of the pillage. Hence the joint is beginning to bend. We even show important there. And once the evacuation was taking place, then the thing was like that. They said this was a falling ground gravity-induced fall of ground, not seismicity. So this was after they blasted, and indeed it would have been expected that they needed before they could get people to work and make sure that they are home. So that's why I'm saying it was preventable. But this document does not talk to that, because these are events that must lead us to look at production methods in different companies in order to eliminate this situation. But I'm just saying numbers, let's then comment. What we liked as well was that the attitude of the company was not the one of shifting blame and trying to deny that this accident had occurred. It was that of being shocked as well, and that of wanting to put in place measures that will prevent the real occurrence of this kind of situation. They demonstrated on the spot, as I asked you for me, about their report. Because there, they showed us in detail the change of production methods, minimizing the length of the table, restoring the pillages, and also looking at periods in terms of after the blasting has taken place, what is the practical experience that we can take and use also elsewhere in the industry. So that this document does not talk to that, so that we can be able to then take an informed decision. But now I'll just open this comment. Honorable Colonel, Honorable Motibella, Honorable Smith, Honorable Leven, and Mr.
Thank you very much, Chair. And because of the time constraints, we are running a bit late. Our initial intention was to go at the club, but because of the time constraints, we could not go. As a result, we relied on the presentation slide.
No, in fact, even if we had went to the shaft, we wouldn't have been allowed access into the election, because it was still under investigation. So it was called a mess. So going down with the shaft into active distance, even management was saying they would take us right to the mouth of the shaft, not just across to where they are charged with it, because they still covered it off. Investigation by both the department, the company, and the union.
Thank you, Chairperson. And also, there was this unfortunate guy who died because he wasn't working there, but he left his banner or something there. So he just went to get it. Unfortunately, the rock fell.
I wonder how long are we going to be told about this rock, this falling rock, like that in the airwash. I'm really bitter about this. Our parents, Nina, Gemiti, your grandparents, Mandy. My parents were working there. My brothers were working there. Our children are working there. I don't know if you understand me. And ever since, there has been this falling rock. You ask yourself, are they serious when they are saying they are trying to prevent this rock from falling? Or is it something that it must happen in a mine? Without a falling rock, maybe it's not a mine. Because it happened, and if it was happening just there alone, the fact is there are people involved, there are lives involved in this thing. And they keep on saying, no, we are busy, we are trying to prevent it, and they don't do. What must we say as outsiders, as people who are using, our families are in those mines? No, it's just a risk sending somebody to a mine to go and work there. So he comes there and you expect him not to come there. And if he doesn't, how long do you take to know that your relative died in that mine? Sometimes they don't even know. I can't understand, because we have big industries like more Ford, more Nissan, where thousands of people are working in there, but they know each and everybody. They have a record. Person who goes to work, he records the time, name, and everything. But that does not happen in mine. People just go in and come out and go in and come out without being recognized. Nobody knows who they are. And there is something that we must stand up as a committee, as well as a national committee, and say, enough is enough.
Thank you, Honorable
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think this issue or this incident illustrates why I want to try and establish the cause of death, because you then get a better insight as to why 167 people last year died. Having said that, I think there's also, it shows a counter side to the problems the mining industry has. And that is, on the face of it, I wasn't there, I don't have the full story, but it was someone's poor judgment, apparently. And it seems to have been the ship boss, if I understand correctly, who made an incorrect judgment call. Now, that's the supervisor. And the senior supervisor comes in and overrules the junior supervisor and says, sorry guys. So, you know, it comes back to training rather than negligence on the part of the mining house, because the senior guy didn't in fact give the correct order. The problem is the junior ship boss didn't do it correctly, make the correct interpretation. So, you know, the emphasis should be on training and ensuring that training is done properly to enable the ship boss to make the correct call at the next opportunity which might arise. So, you know, it gives an insight as to what the possible causes are, but I wouldn't crucify the mining house in that instance. Rather than say these guys who make those kind of calls should be properly informed and educated, that might be a reason for some of the fall of ground instances of which we hear of in the news.
Thank you. You
want to
comment?
Okay,
please.
Question.
You see, if a rock falls this year and again, maybe in 3 years, I don't know how often this thing happens. But by the third time, they should know how to prevent that, if they are serious. They are able to say, if now this maybe is slanting or is overlapping or whatever, that means there's a problem. And detect a problem early in time. They mustn't wait for the problem to kill people, the rock to fall, boom, on top of people. They should by now, that's what I'm saying, by now they should be able to detect this thing in time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, the other thing is that at times we find that they've got a contractor. And when such a thing happens, the mine
mine owner says it's not our fault, it is the contractor's fault. We once went to platinum mine in Rustenburg. I think it was in 2005, if I'm not mistaken. There was a rock that fell. There was a wire there, which was preventing this, but it was really hanging, that you could see that at any time it can fall. So when we asked the supervisor there, why is this like that? It is not going to kill people. He said, oh, well, it is the contractor's job, it is not our job. So sometimes it's through pure negligence. Thank you.
The last word is really, we must go and see this truth. Now interested that seeing is believing. If you see these things, it's that I was not in this truth, that's why I'm saying that. An oversight is a must, really, in a personal comment. Thank you.
I was saying on page 5, in Pala Osada, in fact, there's 2 and there are 3.83. My question is, it's a word there, but what binds the mine owners to stick to this or commit to this? Or what commitments did the oversight group do to ensure this? This is being implemented, and it goes back to what Honorable Mele said, is this fall of rock or ground or rock is repeatedly happening precisely because we put this comment in words, but implementation, what commitment is there in terms of implementation to mine owners to ensure that this does happen or there's an improvement in terms of getting results to this? There's just a group of words there, but I ask myself, how are minds of a baby already all these years this week? Now, what is exceptional about those 3 points?
Thank you, Dr. Daniel and members. I think for Impala, we would await the final report on the investigation. They said it was the cross management. And for this feeling that that accident could be used effectively as a model for us to pay more attention to this problem of fall of ground. Because this fall of ground will occur in the main in 2 instances. One is as a result of what is called a seismic event. Seismicity is when the ground, you know, would shake. And as a result of that, then, you know, naturally, those tunnels will collapse. But also, it does happen as a result of what they call gravity induced, which means that you go in and you blast. You have disturbed the foliage of the ground and the rocks. And as a result, whilst others would fall and be able to have the rubble to be removed, there will be those cracks that would have been created above, which is called the ceiling, sharp ceiling, as the ceiling is duffy. And there would be those cracks also on the side. And those then, before people actually do a kind of work in terms of extracting, you know, gold, they, or whatever commodity, they would then show. Now, we're saying this is one thing that we need to pay particular attention when we do our oversight on mine health safety. We must, I think, we agree with Honorable Member, we will go back to the company. We must identify mines either as a result of the high rate of fatalities and accidents, and also be informed by the department in terms of the give us examples. What are the repeats? Rockfall is one of those, and one day they will use that. Also, in the movement, or machinery underneath is also a cause of death and all of that. So, when we do our oversight on the minor effect safety, we'll look into this. And I think I would do that. We will find it. Firstly, as long as we remember effect safety, we would need to train and put more emphasis on training, particularly on the literacy component. By giving this example, why would a immediate supervisor change this and the other supervisor 3 hours later takes a different decision, which appears to be a correct decision? And I think as members are saying here, you need to emphasize that we develop their understanding, their capacity to respect. It must not be just a filling in of blocks in the form. That have been there and expected and that's all, everything. So sometimes it does happen. But also we need to look at what role do health and safety events play. That inspection is done only by the supervisor. What about the health and safety representative? Who is that? And who must then confirm? For instance, this shift was, must he change 2 or 3 hours before coming to the area to confirm that people can go on the work? Because if he was the one who was suspect, this accident would not happen.
I think we sometimes take a very rough shot approach and say, the mining house is this. What I think one should do, and I'm sure those kind of figures are available, because if 2 mining houses 3,000 meters underneath the ground can make 2 tunnels meet exactly head on head, then surely you can, if that kind of ability, capability is there, then surely you can determine, or the figure should be there, saying, in terms of mining house A, it has the following operation. It has conducted so many million man hours. Its safety rate is A. Mining house B has a fine mine. It deals in coal, deals in, let's say, gold. Its safety record is X per million hours work. And then you'd be able to find out which of these mining houses are the mining houses not adhering to the standards. I'm sure, I don't know what the figures are, I'm sure one mining house might have very low figures versus another mining house higher figures. Now, I don't know what the reasons are, and there might be good reasons for it. But if, and it appears that if mining safety is such an important issue, which it is, we are taking too much of a glib approach to say, fix it, without understanding the reasons, the causes, by whom. It's like a mob of people standing there, and one throws a stone, and you say, hey, those people, all that group of people is now throwing a stone. It can't be. One individual to his turn doesn't mean all of us to his turn. The same. And then you'll be able to see and say, in the coal industry, the average is, it's a 0.1 per million hours work, but this mining house has got 50. There's something wrong. Why? Explain to us why that decision. But that's why I say one should be able, those figures should be available, and one should extract from them info to see, is it negligence, is it due to unfortunate circumstances? You have a 600 rifter cell, no one would be able to do something about. What are the real causes? Then we can say it's a reasonable deduction that mine houses are negligent in their approach, or they are complying with the standards of duty, or where the problem lies. I'm sure those figures should be available.
We do have figures at the department that clearly indicate which mines are the high risk mines, which mines are the low risk mines, and in which region they are situated in particular. So now that we know that our high risk mines are mainly the hard rock mines, that is mainly the gold and the platinum mines. However, We have also identified as inspectors that we need, there is a window of improvement on the systems that we already have in terms of analyzing, especially the lead indicators, because we normally also we also look at the lag indicators. That is the accident, the inspections we do. Those are the lag, very lag indicators. However, we actually we are striving to improve on focusing on what we call the indicators, the outcome of the inspection, the instructions that have been issued, what are the issues that have been highlighted during the inspection. Although we are still doing it, however, we are currently in a process of generating a database that will assist us in refining that particular issue. And secondly, just to support the issue that was highlighted by the chairperson, that with the Impala accident, we are taking a holistic approach into it. Honorable Schmidt indicated that there is an issue of training. We do have a sense that there might be a challenge regarding the training issue. However, we are looking at the holistic approach into it. We're looking at the provisions of the Act. What would the Act will say, for one, to prevent a fall of ground accident, these are the provisions or the systems that you have to put in place. You must do risk assessments, you must appoint competent persons. The mine design as well, the support layout is very, very important. And the other issues that have been raised, and but with the investigation that we are doing currently, we are taking a holistic approach into it to make sure that we don't have a repeat accident. And I do agree with Uma Mungo that why are we still having this fall of ground accident? It's the main concern for us as well. Hence, we've also previously indicated that our main challenge is the legacy in our industry. There is a poor, in certain instances, health and safety culture. That we have put some systems in place to try and influence a change in those. One of them, as we indicated, is the issue of the review of the current Act as it stands, the increase of the fine, to try and persuade that people otherwise not take responsibility. And also through the Mine Health and Safety Council, we are looking at culture. At the mine to try and really influence the culture holistically as well, employers all the way to the lower levels. However, there are a lot of issues that we are trying together with our other stakeholders, the employees and the employer representatives, to try and influence this challenge of the future.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll
just
say we're moving towards the same direction that. This committee indeed grappled with, actually minimized the associated cost of the company. And I think it's slow. It can be done with extra effort being put into it. For instance, we need to find a reason why can we not get some early detection devices. How we saying worldwide, there's no technology that has been developed to such an extent that we are able to detect any enough, even including the dismissed, you know, what is that in other countries across the world, we can even tell when the storm and at what rate of the speed, and therefore the evacuation of the community will take place before the storm is hit. So it's possible. That means that we must then grab the screen and quickly apply on that. But also, we need to look at what we have discovered at Impala as well, was that the method of production also in their view contributes. That's why we like this model of Impala, because they were not only focusing on the actual accident and that area only. They opened up, you know, their thinking process. And then we're beginning to ask the third question. Did the production method that we're using also contributed to that? Hence, there was a change in terms of the production method, which I think that presentation is going to inform us on those needed, preventative measures that they have embarked upon. So to us, it was like approaching it in a more open horizon, and they were able to then use that accident to also find some solutions. We were saying that the kind of production methodology that we were introducing is going to knock us on production. I can't remember what percentage they spoke about. But then it demonstrated the fact that the push on production as well does make some kind of contribution. Because, you know, your miners will have nothing in their mind except to look at, you know, the production bonus. In which instance, you know, Impala says they have toned down even on the actual remuneration based on the bonuses based on the performance of production, which then was something also that was much welcome, because in many instances we find people pushing themselves beyond limits because they are looking at the end result in terms of the performance bonus, you know, even without being pushed by management, but then that, because they are chasing, you know, those production targets as a result of the incentive in the form of a bonus. But also, this is a role played by the contractors. I think we would have to also look into that and what kind of responsibility, you know, must the contractors have, you know, before they get into the market. But also, I think the report from the department will have to inform us in terms of the prevalence of the contractors and their impact on the health and safety, you know, record in a particular commodity, be gold, be platinum, and so forth, so that we can also learn from that, that is this not also a competitive aspect of the more accidents that is taking place. Fine, one of the rollers that is Impala, incomplete as it is, because they are still investigating, and that after the investigation, they will be in charge.
Thank you very much, Chair. I don't know if it's going to be possible to include it in the report, but as a current organization and a current government to our own future, if you remember, I think, I don't know if we can include it in this report, we even went to an extent of standing up and observing the moment of silence on behalf of those who passed on in their mind. I think we need to do
that. Unfortunately, it's incomplete. I'm referring to the member of Parliament. But do you wanted to ask something?
No, I just thought maybe we might want to put an emphasis on the fact that the Mine Health and Safety Act provides for workers to avoid working in a hazardous place. And one would want to ask, why did it take a ship course to detect that there were hazards there? For us, it would go to education and on that edge.
Thank you. I think that's something that also will be put into our intent, because in some minds we were told that this provision is a bit difficult to implement because of the procedures that must be followed in terms of who takes that decision. The worker will identify the area, then you must inform the supervisor, must inform the chief boss must inform the foreman, and that chain of command. I think we would be informed also by the department practically how that is happening. Do workers have the right to speak to the law out of the area, or is it still necessary for them to go through this long chain of command at the end, you know, after they're so prepared in the second. But I think you would also give us some examples in terms of that, and also to understand to what extent have workers been able to exercise the strike, so that we can then have a sense that maybe the right that is there, which is unknown to us, that look, you have this right, or they know it, but then because of certain conditions, they are unable to exercise that right. So I think we will have to throw some light for us on that. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Chair. Again, on that particular issue, there is a provision in the Mine Health and Safety Act, Section 23, that clearly gives the employees that right to withdraw from those areas, However, through our work, that leads to it. And I think in terms of that section, it also requires that the employer or the owner of the mine must have a procedure on how they exercise their right of control of that particular issue. But from my experience, the experience of the inspectors, that in some of the mines, there's a problem of intimidation. You'll find that employees, they know they have a particular right, however, they are, in certain instances, they are being intimidated to say, if you don't want to work here, you might just stay, and then we get someone who should work. In some of the mines, not all of the mines. And some of the mines, we find that there's no that particular procedure that will assist the employees to be able to follow accordingly the withdrawal. Another issue is the issue of the bonus as well. I mean, some of the workers, they will know the procedure. However, the bonus system, it's a carrot that is being used to say, I mean, to not to consider some of the safety measures that are being, it's a concern in some of the minds that we are experiencing as a inspector as well. And we also find that because of that issue, the supervisors as well, because of the, especially the production targets that are being set for them, they find themselves in a tight situation because at the end of the shift, they're normally being asked why you need achieve the target, and some of them take chances. Sometimes they don't examine accordingly, they don't support accordingly, so that they should drill and blast. I think those are the particular issues that we are also looking at and looking at measures to be able to influence it positively. Because especially the bigger mines, we actually see that training in terms of the theory is there. However, the problem is how do we influence their behavior accordingly to achieve the outcome that you like to get. I think those are the issues that we also need to
Thank you. On
behalf
of
the
Minister,
I'd like
to
thank you, Chairperson. If my memory serves me well, I remember in the MQA document was said that before the mine starts, the miners go down to work, and a health inspector should go and inspect. So I just wanted to know, between the two people, was the first one a health inspector or just a chief boss?
Okay,
sir,
sorry. Thank you, Chair. In terms of the act, before, normally the employees will go underground to their respective working places. But before they enter the working place, there should be an examination of that working place. It can be a panel or a section by either the supervisor and some of the employees, including the health and safety representatives, to go and make sure that it's safe. In terms of the ventilation is okay, the support is according to standard. The examination of the working place is also really okay. So that is the provision of the head. Now, the other supervisors who are normally required to do that with what they call the shift bosses as well, they come at a later stage to come and check whether the miners, which are the supervisors in the panel, they are checking according to the mine standard that the place is ready. And there's another level as well on top of the supervisors, which I call the miner peers. Who should come as well to do the similar work, and it goes on to the mine manager as well. There is a responsibility. We also have what we call the safety officers, safety officers, they'll have to be, they are required in terms of the law, in terms of regulation 2.2.7.1, to be appointed and go and do those particular examinations to make sure that all the workings in the mine, they comply to the mine standards. Also, obviously, with us as inspectors as well, there is a provision that we should go at the mines to make sure that the workings, they comply to the provisions of our law, which is the mine health and safety, and take necessary measures to try and ensure compliance.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, once again, members, as we have said, this Impala accident, the situation is a work in progress. We were told that the report will be completed within 2 months' time, which means the end of this month, the end of September, end of October. and then receive the report and the findings, and that the inquiry process will take longer than that. But I think that investigation of its own will assist us as a basis to basically begin to interrogate some of the similar accidents that occur in the industry. And secondly, we will engage with the department more elaborate on more detailed reports, which we really appreciate the report they gave us last time, because it was giving us details that including occupational diseases situation. And I think we will then, after the report, get the department to take us through, so that, because this will form one of our priorities to see what kind of contribution can we make to deal a serious blow on the prevalence of the accident and incidents in the industry. At that stage, we would also call upon formations such as Chamber of Mines to basically assist us in terms of finding the way forward. Because part of that is, if you look at the expenditure pattern in the mine, and also to ask that, do they even budget for the electricity situation in their annual statement? And if they do, how is that money spent? Also, on the part of the money of the safety, especially issues related to research, I think you have one similar to that undertakes the research. We would want to know exactly over this year what has CIMEREC been, since we, and what are the end results of all of such research? Are we making some breakthrough in terms of, the necessary technology for early detection and preventative measures, including, the occupational, related, hazards such as noise induced kind of impairment, which means in those instances, the solution is an inherent solution, which then must be found. So CIMEREC would have to be fully prepared to take us through in the standard study. That will then be followed by an actual oversight into various mines, that mine various commodities, to basically also complement our knowledge that we have uncovered. And also to look at the enforcement of the law. Because we might think that legislation is found wanting more and there's sufficient provisions in the law. But all we need to make sure of is how is it being implemented by both the department as well as the role players in the industry. With that, can we step off the Impala report with that characterization that this accident will assist us to be used as a basis to also define most of the to the tools. Let's get on to Barbaton. Barbaton, which is back to the legal mining, first on page 6 to page
Again, anything?
Thank you, Shepard. There's a comment in this big paragraph on the criminals that are well armed with 7 shotgun, 9mm pistols, and so on. We are in a democratic South Africa. But is this a normal situation? And how is the problem to go on? Is my question in relation to that comment. And it goes back also to the issue then that is the department, is the DMR not being, are the expectations not being too high for them in terms of what needs to be done by them as a department to combat issues like this, because this then says to me it involves work of the crime intelligence unit. And relations concerning this in terms of arrest, what research has been done or what reports are there, what actions have been taken in all our lives of mining for that matter, because I think even with the previous government, it would have been applicable law that actions like this should have been seriously combated. Seriously combated, and it's actually strange that even such a comment, where you could actually give such a comment, and it appears to be a normal way of life. Where's the law when it comes to this? And also it raises the question as to how involved should the, once again, the justice system and the crime intelligence unit be involved or be part of the act that's actually being used by the DMR to ensure that their work is also not compromised, because I think they can assist to a certain extent in terms of advocacy perhaps on this issue, but that's as far as they go, because they are not working within the Department of the Justice System, for example, or within the crime unit. Now, my concern there, if it's an issue to be resolved, what is the issue in terms of relations, and what are we, just talking about it, or are we to do something about it, in terms of us also looking at what legislation says, or are we perhaps to enforce the situation where we have to have relations with the SAP, for example, the justice system, for example, health, for example, in the issues of mining safety, the act as well. There's a gap there. So I just wonder what we can do about that.
Yes, Chair. Just a matter of interest. Which group of mining companies does Barberton Gold Mine belong to? Particularly Barberton Gold Mine. And then secondly, I think, you know, as a previous speaker was talking, you know, having people operate with AK-47s and R1s and R5s is by no means a normal crime situation. That's certainly what the previous speaker was saying. Now, and these kind of issues, if not properly dealt with, can escalate to a threat from the security at least in that area. So there's no doubt that this must be escalated. I think the report basically says that it's to the newly formed hawks. But I think we just stress in this report that, you know, it needs to be dealt with properly and prevent an escalation of that kind of activity.
Thank you, Chatterton.
Yeah, Chatterton, what we were told was that there were police who were shot underground. Mm. And also, they've got security, because people are going in, there's a place where in a hole there, outside on the mountain. wanted. They stay there. They even do their demons there, cleaning up the gold, because there they take pure, rich gold out. And here also, police arrested people. About 700 people were arrested. And 340 in the last 12 months. Only 340 was successfully prosecuted, while 355 cases are still pending. That's one of the information that we got, and the mine workers there, the mine managers there, were telling us about the companies which they hired to try and prevent this illegal miners going in, but it's very difficult because there they just say, you give me this, I'm going to use it, and if you don't give it to me, you're gone, because I know your wife, I know your family, I know your children, where they are, then what do you do? Are you going to give up your family? It's very dangerous and very difficult to really operate there. We can blame the police, but the other thing which was really disturbing about the police as well, the FAPF representative there said they were there, they had people there, but unfortunately, they have the station commander removed all of them. Even in the station, there are no enough police there. That's the problem in Mpumalanga, in Barberton, especially Barberton police station. They don't have enough force there. Thank you.
Yes, Frida covered me. But my question really was, as Frida said, if the police say, it goes back to what Comrade Faith was saying about law. Police went down underground, and there some came back injured, and they said, we are no longer going to go down and work. Now what's going to happen? What's going to happen? They say, we're no more providing assistance with underground operations. That is what is written. So that the police saying that. Which means now, if you go down, there's nothing. You die, you come back, nobody's going to help you there. Because here it is. That is why I say it goes back to what Comrade Faith was saying. Is there any law? Police are there. I understand, Frida. It is dangerous. It is dangerous to the workers, dangerous to the police as well. But what does it do? Just leave it like that. The police cannot go down and save people.
Thank you, Honorable Coroner. Can we get the department to ask them some of the
questions? In terms of legislation, through the forum, the local forum that was formed by, or that was established by the minister, our minister in Belco after the incident, and also previous to that, we have been engaging with the SAPS and the Department of Justice. Especially if you can recall, we have been informed that these illegal miners, once they get underground, they also steal explosives. And some of them, they are being used in their operations, and some of them, they are taken out of the mine and were used then during the ATM bombing as well. So we were really working together with the police. What we will do is we'll go through our act, that is the Mine Health and Safety Act and the MPRPA, and go through each and every provision. And we'll indicate to both the SAPS and the Justice Department that these are the expected sections or the provisions of the Act that one can consider when you're formulating charges, especially when they arrest some of the illegal minors. There's also what we call the diamond and precious metals regulator. Their mandate is to enforce and promote the Diamond and Precious Metals Act. We've also we're in consultation with them to say which are the respective legislation that we and the police and the justice department could consider when we were ready and considering convictions, and we did provide that the both the SAPS and the justice department. I'm on the side of the justice department. They're independent to us as well, but there are other stringent provisions of their act that they are currently considering when, especially dealing with the illegal mining. Now, in terms of consultation through that forum and through the leadership of our minister, we have been in constant engagement with the other departments, NIA, for instance. We are also in consultation with them. The Home Affairs, we've recently also invited them to the forum because they play a very critical role, especially with the issue of that was discussed earlier on illegal immigrants. So we are also engaging them to say, how can we really assist? Department of Health as well. You might be aware that for the processing of the gold, either underground, because illegal miners tend to process the gold underground as well. Also at the G hostels or wherever they are staying in the township, they use mercury. They actually use mercury to do this. And especially the G hostels, they use mercury and they mix it with water and they just run it down near the stream. Now the problem is the environment and the negative impact to the to the children who might be playing in those streams and on the other particular issues going forward. Now, we as a department have been investigating who are really legislating the use of mercury and the quantity that one can have and who should actually have that. And we are, for instance, we went to some of the pharmacies. It appears there's also a challenge on the restriction on how much mercury one can have. And it's not only in South Africa, it's throughout the world. The issue of mercury control is a problem. However, because it's not our jurisdiction, we are also engaging the Department of Health in that particular regard. However, there is continuous consultation with the respective department, because we definitely believe that for us to crush this particular issue, we'll have to work together, including the unions and the mine owners as well. We clearly have to really to work together to make a huge impact on this particular issue. And the local government structures as well. And community leaders, resources that are very, very important, they are also involved in this. We'll have to check the chair, because the last time, I'm not also responsible, but I think the last time they were owned by Metrorex, there are three mines, the Chiba, Fairview, and New Concert, and the last time I'm aware they were owned by Metrorex. No?
What I know about the product of mines, I know that they were owned by
as far as I know, Metrorex still owns it. As far as I know.
Metrorex.
Yeah. Given what the department has said, I think one of the things that the report should talk to is that biometric impact. Because it's not just the mercury thing, it's all other things that you should mention.
What I just wanted to make an attempt to note is that perhaps there will be a need also, I think I think we should take on the part of the Department of Health in future if we have a strategic planning session of some sort, that we should consider having a collaborated report in terms of the involvement of the other departments on what affects mining, like for example the environmental department, environmental and water affairs management, criminal justice for example is another department that's involved in this. There's the health department also involved in terms of the Mine and Safety Health Act. I somehow think that out of that, you know, and the other perhaps the police, out of that we can perhaps also be able, as a committee in particular, be able to bring out what we need to stress, especially to Parliament, in terms of the needed changes, in terms of not only the legislation, but implementation of the law as well. I'm just making mention of that, Chair.
Thank you. I think yes, some of the members, the matter in Barbados, I think before stepping off it, it is important that you characterize it correctly as well. That it's unique to such mine, and that it basically shows that it's a big, you know, trend. That in Welcome you will find out that the concentration has been on the unused shaft. All what the illegal miners would seek to do is to find their way in terms of access to the operational shaft. That's the only hassle that they have to basically deal with. Thereafter they find their way. We were told they're working 2 days, 3 days to the actual shaft that they have targeted. But when you come to Barbaton, it's a different scenario altogether. They are competing actually with the mine company in the same production area. And it presents quite a serious situation. Where, you know, drilling and blasting is done by the mine, and they come in and simply, you know, take it out. And in instances, they would take equipment, confiscate the production equipment, including compressors, and tell workers that just go and see someone who are using this equipment until we're done, then we can only peel it. So, we don't have peel. It's not a situation where people are stealing. It's people who are taken by force what actually belongs to these mine houses in terms of the legal arrangements. But also, members, we have received some correspondence after our oversight from the general manager, Mr. Kasper Spiker, who was after doing the presentation to us, indicating the escalation of these activities. He writes us for this. The problem with the criminal miners has escalated tenfold in the last couple of weeks. And the control of Sheba mine is becoming a serious concern to us. I tell you, the criminals are literally taking it over. These criminals are now taking over our equipment and workplaces. There is huge numbers of weapons being carried openly. These include a lot of AK-47, 9mm, and other pistols, and we have even seen an LMG. It's a big machine, the machine gun, which is more powerful. You know, and also they say inter-gang fights and shootouts are now a daily occurrence, which means that these gangs are now fighting over the groups who must have the control in that channel. So we are continually closing off entrances, guarding other entrances and doing patrols, but they still get in. We are planning to increase our security, but we need help from SAPS and even the Defense Force. Again, I say the bosses, since bosses are now the dealers and buyers, must be targeted by the relevant SAPS department. This talks to the issue of eliminating the market and therefore deal decisively with this thing of illegal mining. I cannot stress enough how serious the problem is getting. You are welcome to send a representative who can go down the mine, dress as a mine employee, to see for himself how serious the problem is. This person will be accompanied by our mine employees, and there should not be a problem. The production losses are getting huge over and above the gold being stolen. Over and above the gold being stolen, we are prepared to meet with anybody to discuss plans and proposals. So they are now getting at the point of desperation, which indicates the seriousness of the situation. But okay, the department is going to.
Chair, the first email after the visit was on the 20th from Kasa. It's saying this email is just to inform you that on Wednesday night, 19 August, we had a criminal miner accident at the Concert Mine. One of criminal miner was killed and two were injured when they fell down the pit or past when the ladder broke. According to the injured, there were a group of nine, but the front six managed to get out safely. They are from Matsulu town, which is about 70 kilometers from the mine township, from the mine, showing the extent of the influx from outside communities. They also reported that there were another group still underground in the same area.
It just shows that, just gives me the impression that we haven't done anything in terms of the mineral resources department. In as much as some of the issues there are criminally related, but it seems to me that there's no action. There's absolutely no action that has started, which also then says to me, we might have to consider having to prioritize our action in terms of what needs to be done to resolve, especially the issue of illegal mining, because it's becoming a broad issue now where it does not only involve the environment, but it's involving illegal acts by the illegal miners. And it can't be something that you take lightly, because to me now it gives me the impression that there's now an army of a different sort has been formed against the country, and we're doing nothing about it. It needs to be contained now. So we might have to look at perhaps looking at stringent ways of oversight visits that would actually bring a solution to the problem. Even if it means now justice or even police sitting with us for some of our portfolio committee meetings, but I think we need to act on something. It doesn't look like anything has been done thus far. It also then says to me, Chairperson, there's this Mine and Health Act that needs to be amended. That still needs to go through the bill, isn't it? It's also more reason to speed up the process, because I think we're given a time frame of towards the end of September, if I'm not mistaken, if my memory serves me well. It then simply says to me that we are slow. We are slow on everything until something happens. Perhaps we need to reconstruct our minds and reconsider our approach in what we need to do as a committee.
Thank you very much, Chair. You see, I think this activity is going to escalate, more especially now that it was Christmas. These people need to start preparing for Christmas and go back to Mozambique to avoid all those things. So we're going to receive more emails coming in saying that the situation is getting worse. So the sooner they do something about it, the better. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bushes and Honorable Dexter?
Yes.
Your connection.
I'm fine. The connection is also gone. But it's fine. What I wanted to say was the following. To a certain extent, I don't understand the problem, quite honestly. Because, I would expect that if a mine shaft is not being used, then and it's temporarily closed, then one would probably secure it by means of concrete slurs and that kind of stuff. And you would, under the circumstances, then at least go visit it once a week, once every 2 days, whatever. Except there's some other kind of standards of closing mine shafts, which I'm not aware of. But physically, there's a hole in the ground. You close the hole. You close the other hole. You close it. You don't close it by means of steel because it will be stolen. Because people, there's another motive. You close it by means of cement. Now, what is it that, practically speaking, that we have a problem with people into mine shafts? Because if there's a hole which is now emerged, which wasn't there 2 days ago, then you get someone down there, and you make sure you get them out, and you close that hole again. So to a certain degree, I don't understand the problem. I understand more what is the problem, is that in current operations, you have people being corrupted, and you pay them an amount of money, and then you have these fingerprint machines and stuff. But it's only short. I totally see the problem. Honestly, I think.
I'm not as worried about how it's proceeding, because I think it's more under the recommendation part, so it deals with this. But I don't know if I should wait until we come to it now.
Well, I think when I was assistant to this office of profession, and the very of the company then couched under the combination as well.
Okay, no, it's
hold on.
Sorry. So my issue is that I think the point about the estimation and the socioeconomic conditions and so on that relate to the causes of it, or not the causes, to the environment that makes this illegal mining such a proliferative activity. I think that, it's not specific to the barbecue sector, because it's a combination of issues. But I think that the Honourable Member should point about, because remember when we had the presentation, she spoke about the fact that the mining houses who close up these mines need to be taken to task about the way that it's done. I think the standards that go to how you close the mine, how you dismantle the lift, for example, because you see, those things are dismantled. If you're closing the mine, you must close. If you're shutting it down temporarily, which people do periodically, then you have to leave people there. You can't shut it down temporarily. And because I suspect that what the mining houses are doing is they are opportunistically mothballing operations and leaving it, waiting to see if the gold price will come back, and then they'll either sell it to a junior miner or a BE company, or they'll come back and mine it themselves. So I think there should be a clear recommendation about changing the law in terms of when you shut the mine down, what are the steps that you have to take? Secondly, what will be the consequences for you if you don't do that? Because it's partly a health and safety issue, but if you look at what I like about this recommendation, stepping up the fines and the legitimacy, the same goes for the company. It's not just the people involved in the when they've made a profit out of the mine, they shut it down, they must also factor into the rehabilitation cost how they secure that area. And if it means the DME looking at higher guarantees for rehabilitation to do that, then those are the things that you should take.
Yes,
thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, when we were at Barberton, there was also a cry about the legislation to say that our legislation favors the criminals. So I think we must really go into
the legislation and really interrogate it and see if really has it got that loophole. And on the closing of the shafts, when we asked them, they were saying they cannot close the mines like that because for the ventilation, safety of the people. That's the answer which they were giving. And at Velkom, they were saying if they close the shaft, they come and blast it open. They keep on closing, but they come blasting. That's another problem. I just don't know, because really I quite concur with you, Honorable Dexter, when you say they leave it for opportunity. Because when we first asked why are those mines still there, because now they are linking to one another, why are they still there? They said, why can't they close them? They said, no, we cannot close them, it's too much, too expensive to fill those. You can't fill the mines. That's what they were telling us. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think in the scenario of corruption, it's going to be a bit difficult. I mean, as Honorable Smith is saying, that you could put on slabs, concrete slabs and all that. But as you were saying earlier on, actually, it's a different kind of scenario there, because the miners, actually, they go inside the mine together with mine workers, the legitimate mine workers. So even if you do that, it's not going to help, because those miners, they go together with the mine workers there. So I don't know, maybe in other mines where they use other methods.
Yeah. Okay. But I think, yes, indeed, the question of complete representation is a matter that, you know, would have to be part of our recommendation. In fact, it would have to be two-pronged. One would be if there's still, you know, auditing in this shop, the department must encourage, for example, small cinema, so that those areas are operational. We close off this possibility of people coming in to conduct illegal money. We must look at the feasibility there. But in a Barbados situation, it's a different situation altogether. They go in where the mine is mining. So they are using force. It's a complete takeover by criminals of those mines. The miners, the mine companies, they care expenses of blasting and making sure that there are safety equipment and so forth. But then these fellows, they will come in. There was a just time when the miners were blasted, after they've done their drilling and blasting. During that illegal intermittent, it was a period of cooling off, of allowing the gases to emit out, you know, through the sanitizers and the dust, basically, stuff. They then come in. They don't care about the safety and health of these, you know, illegal miners. And they actually literally compete with the company at the same production area. Now, hence this fellow was talking about them being armed. Because there, they say to want to stand on the side. If you don't want to stand on the side, they don't think twice. They should. Workers are killed. So it doesn't matter whoever comes in the evening, they engage the mine security when they go down, then you have a shootout. Now it's developing to another phenomenon where now gangs are being established. So they would divide these mines. Others would target certain mines, others would go to certain mines, in fact taking over. But also I think the socio-economic situation needs to be looked into, because why would it be attractive to let's leave out people who are taken from foreign countries, but look at the people within the surrounding townships. It's because we were told, even by communities themselves, that these people will disappear for 2-3 months. When they come back, they drive big flashy cars, and they live a life lifestyle that, you know, is competitively higher than anyone else in the area. And in that way, you know, the blessing is open, you know, their wealth, which has been amassed through this kind of thing. And they opened the program with the fact that now I'm just on holiday for 6 months, enough money. After 6 months I'll call back, I want to buy my business plan. Now there, you have really the development of gang and criminal activity taking over. Hence we say that this format of mine requires a particular strategy to basically use it as an example. You know, why can we not spend an opportunity for to trust themselves up once and for all in that particular mine? And then in the other mine, people will begin to think twice before they could go in. I agree with members that yes, indeed, it's time for us to now begin to look at what kind of action that must be taken. But I think that is as far as purpose of mine goes. And the last leg was to pray. In praying, indeed, what we have discovered there was, you know, to put it in a more crystal, you know, approach that these are people who are mining this high-grade coal, not for purposes of selling it in the open market, not for purposes of exporting it, but it's a more open subsistence mining, where they mine for purposes of consumption and also for small sales to the immediate households. And I think there, you know, it's a situation also where you have abundant open mind. Because in your coal situation, your mining methods are more open customer. So as a result, they found the area abundant, they find, and then they can see, even ourselves, we saw in a naked eye, the soil will go, you know, 2 or 3 meters down, and thereafter you reach the coal. And all what they do is to basically mine and go directly to where the coal is. In the process of doing that, then the ground falls on them because there are no support mechanisms and so forth. And they also endanger, you know, the immediate, you know, surrounding community. One mine we were in, open cast mine, was like from here to the shops across the road. These are communities and there's a mine. So during windy days, indeed, that dust comes through and it affects children and everybody else. Now, we have spoken to the department, the inspector there, that one thing that must be done was to cordon off those types of mines for now. But then we need to look at an elaborate strategy in terms of the small scale miners, even using the immediate community, but also in some areas it could be quite tricky. Because it would mean that before you could mine there, you know, at a large scale, you must remove, relocate the community. Whether that can be done easily or not, it's another matter. But I think that's engaged on pride, because this one was more easier than the other. Any comments?
Chairperson, that goes also to what you just commented on. The research unit, how closely are they looked into in terms of what do they research? How relevant is their research to the problems just mentioned? Because that could be another area where they could be involved in terms of these mines that the chairman just spoke about that has been closed off. Are they closed off for the right reason? What needs to be done? Because then, again, it gives us something to go back to the community for in terms of job creation and improvement, poverty mediation, improvement of their lifestyle and so on. If we need to perhaps look at also the area around which the researchers work, is it areas relevant to what the government needs to look at? Or are they also just getting the necessary funding and running their own research work in their own direction? Where you find that at the end of the day, there's no way of control or of looking back to say a particular research has been done to a particular mine, and this is what can be done to
to increase the livelihoods of the people staying in those surrounding areas. Also looking at the fact that it could also be another way of relieving government in, for example, having to like build houses for the people staying in that particular area or relocating there, and you find a situation where they actually relocate themselves because of what they'd be generating out of their own. So it's important to also look at how well are they controlled, these people are doing the research in government in terms of what needs to be done to be direct to the challenges that we're faced with. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, can you, Honorable Smith has left as well, can we, just before you leave, one minute of your time. Also, raising this to all our members, the status of this report, all the news that following fully after shot, even when you come to recommendation, it will not assist us going forward. I would want to propose to the committee that we then keep it as a discussion document. It must go back, in fact, for it to be reworked. And once it's ready, then it comes back for further engagement and adoption. What's your views on this before you leave the context?
No, Chairperson, I support your view. I think that there's a lot of tightening up and also strengthening of the recommendation that I would like to see us. Giving them the writing, but you know, I think if you can email stuff to Mr. Ramrock, I'm sure. But I would agree with you wholeheartedly. I think we need to give it another session. But thank you very much. Yeah, I think the efforts of my colleagues on the committee, I really appreciate. I wasn't able to come, but I think it's a really outstanding thing that you've done.
Any other views from the
Thank you very much, Chair. On this coronation one, I don't know whether it's been processed also to include our visit to the community where we assembled the hall. And they raised various issues whereby we even committed ourselves to say that we will take their grievances to the relevant department. It is not only about climate. They raise issues of local government, they raise issues of, you know, employment and all that. I think this would be also important to also include it on the report as well.
Chairperson, the other thing I didn't see here was when we got there, when we were in the hall, people were complaining about the mine that was closed and the mine that was hiring people, and they were working there and not getting any salary. Some of them are ill right now, and but nothing is happening and nothing is done to those miners.
Remember that. Which was still continuing to basically just come in and hire people and so forth. Yeah.
Thank you, Chairperson, for my voice over to another chair. And we can do all the mining reports which just mentioned. There's the only common issue of criminality. And I think you started the same attention to have been. As a committee, we need to come with mechanisms. Also, a strategic approach. Three reasons to endure oversight of all this money. I think also a question of detecting technology, we should approach both solutions for this money. Because really, this killing of our people has been there for so long. So we just have to come and interrogate the different system of the amendments, mining. Also, the mining policy should be revisited.
mine has and says to be amended.
Thank you. Okay.
I'd like to stress on the comment that perhaps the report should go back. Just in support of what the honorable member that has just said that. I also think it's a very limited report. There's a lot of gaps left out. It should go back before we can actually say we are going to adopt the report. Because we need to revise this in detail again when the detailed report has been submitted. So I would say that we should shelve it for now in terms of adoption and look at the reviewed report that is coming in. Thank you.
And that is the feeling of the
yes, sir.
I think that goes to the report that we are taking the back to the former suggestion of some sort of do more work on this report. I think as we have listened there is a members are completely not happy. Then we will in between do other, interactions to see in which best possible manner can we ameliorate the situation in the public domain, which seems to be quite urgent and life threatening for all involved. But we will then engage the ministry and be able to then find if the need arises, then we will reconvene this committee to specifically look at this matter and whatever other recommendations that are coming and see if members are happy if the need arises. If then it means it does action, then obviously we will be happy with that approach. I said that apart from the report itself, we will have to discuss the actual experience of the threat. I began to draft, I was waiting for this meeting, discussing this report, to draft a letter of serious concern to the management of Parliament regarding the manner in which the trip was arranged. It was a complete unpleasantness, I think members would agree. In particular, in this instance, our problem revolves around the travel agent. Those people who subjected members to strenuous driving periods, to an extent that I was amazed by the performance of members, given that kind of a situation. Firstly, our first trip was to Bloemfontein. Granted, there was no flight found for us to fly directly to Bloemfontein, although even that is questionable, because there are flights between Cape Town and Bloemfontein. But then we flew, all of us outside of Gauteng to Johannesburg. We drove. But we drove past the to go and sleep over in Bloemfontein. quite funny arrangement. And I sat with Johnny and who else from the department to say these are the areas we're going to. This is the work that we're going to do. Then they must sit with travel agents to look at distances. And also, we spoke to the department as well in terms of possible suggestions of how this whole thing was managed by the travel agents who did what they wanted to do. So that compelled us. Arriving late in Bloemfontein, arriving late, waking up early in the morning to drive 2 hours from Bloemfontein to Verco. Now, the untenable situation there is that members are expected to be fresh and quite clear in their minds, because on the day you need to go do your work. It's not like a routine. You are there to conduct an operation which involves vigilance. That you look at a number of issues spectacularly. But in this instance, we're subjected to that kind of a situation. Now, when we left Bloemfontein, we were supposed to have gone to Pretoria. Driving to Pretoria, and the following day we must drive back to Northwest. Meanwhile, Northwest is just across in terms of the border to the state. We won't go to Rustin back. Now, I had to then intervene, spoke to the travel agent, asked this person, what is this? Then she began talking backwards and forwards. At first, she tried to shift the blame to committee section, and I simply put the phone in the speaker. And I'm sure she realized that the phone is on the speaker. But I wanted them to hear why is it that the travel agent is there. And then my instruction to her was quite clear that, look, from now on, we are going to Rustenburg, which is just across here. And we can't drive to Pretoria and drive back to Rustenburg. And from Rustenburg, we will be going to Barbados. From Barbados, we will be going to Canada. There are flights that are there, that from Rustenburg, we can take a flight that goes to Belfast, and then we have to get that. But unknowingly, again, we were subject to, I would say torture, because when we got to the hotel, we were shunted to a dormitory area. You can see it even in the whole tells you, not the story, that here you are not. Meanwhile, the hotel has got 2 sets of rooms. And we asked ourselves, why would you send them to travel agents? And we took a fight with the hotel person, because we were asking, why didn't you tell the travel agent that you could use 2 sets of rooms? And then they said, no, our central reservation has raised it with your travel agent. And this is what the travel agent told. We had to wake her up in midnight to say, what is my help? Otherwise, we would have gone back. You would have to explain to Parliament why. And only then, that we were then given the room, that at least our rooms that are protected. Then we went to the mine. From there, we went to flight. Again, going to Friday. But to our surprise, firstly, she said, in Belcombe there's no hotel. And I said, this is amazing. That you have a town such as Belcombe that there's no hotel. But then, if in Belcombe there's no hotel, why am I going there? Why am I the other hotel? Why must we drive past where we're going to before calling that? And then again, the same thing happened. She said, in Friday, there are no hotels. We must sleep in Richard's. Meanwhile, from Richard's place to Friday, we driving something like freaking
reform.
We will find a place. You all need to must have pay. Because we cannot, enjoy this. Because at the end of the day, it affects our performance. And when we go to Pride, Charter Pride, here are the places. Different places that we could have stayed in. And we're told also that there's a hotel, a Holiday Inn hotel in, what is this, chief continent this area? Kulundi. Kulundi is only an hour drive from Kulundi to Pride. Then there's a different hotel, a group of Holiday Inn hotels. And our question was, why was this not banned? Known by this southern nation. So it was like that kind of a situation. And the letter I'm writing is to say to the section head, when we go out again, we don't want this kind of and that, at one stage, we were called by the section, committee section person. Say, look, you will be charged double, and you will pay for not sleeping or whatever. And our response was very simple, that if that's the case, let it be, but you will explain that people are making you register. Because we are not going to subject ourselves to long hours of time before we actually do our work. Well, at the end of the day, we're not in picnic, we're not on a leisure excursion here. We're there to do work. And but the same thing when we instructed them to change the arrangement in Bishop's Street. Well, my contention to her was that when we left Belcom, we told you exactly what we're not happy with, what we want done. But still, we did the same thing. We didn't even, search for a place. For instance, we're told here the hotel in Ubudi, and we didn't book it. And so then it was that kind of this committee session that we told that, if that is the case, then between yourself, your section, and the travel agent, somebody must do the same. But I will make sure that it doesn't get detected from our budget, because it's not of our nature. We told you in time that this is a trooper that was going to undertake it. We left the arrangement into your hands, and this is what you've done. And to us, that indicated a measure of disrespect that members of parliament are treated with in the English constitution. And this is something that I was going to ask. That letter, I'm writing to the committee section, copy to the chief, so that it can be taken up. Because we in the first parliament are not going to enjoy this kind of treatment. We can't be treated with this thing by people who are employed to render service to us, to render support to us for us to do our function. We're not going to stand for that. If the previous parliament have allowed that, tough luck. Yes, parliament is a member of parliament. Anything else comes after. Members of parliament constitute parliament. Anybody else who can tell us he's a manager, he's a director, to us is there to give us support. And that answer, if there are laws, if there are policies that must be changed, we will make sure that they are changed. Because the reason why we have got protests out there, because of these, bureaucratic, problems that we're subjected to. If we want to do oversight, we want to do oversight so that we can satisfy the people of the country. And nothing must come in our way, as far as that is concerned. The other issue was also the arrangements by the committee section. In some minds, we have discovered that they are saying, no, you didn't tell us that you want to go to you're going to go down the mine. I mean, what is the reason of oversight in a mine if you're not going to damage into the shop? If we wanted to have a cosmetic discussion with them, we could have invited them here in Parliament. We can spend money to go to them, to their workplaces, in order for us to end up in their bottoms. The reason for the oversight is to basically see what is going on. And the business of the mine is taking place in the shop, nowhere else. So, so, but I then said, no, no, the quality section did not tell us this. Even in some instances, we had to insist, for instance, in Baltimore. There was no representation on the part of the store. The union was represented by one person. They just took a chairperson, and that was it. And meanwhile, the managers lined up in the room. They almost filled the room, different departments. And we said, so look, we can't go on this. We are not here to talk to the mine management. We are here to talk to all stakeholders so that we can get a balanced picture of what is going on. Mm-hmm. And we then said we are not going to start this meeting until we bring those people. And they did so. Which showed that it was not difficult for them to bring them, but it was just a matter that they were hiding them somewhere, you know, so that they can handle us in a way and a manner in which they want to handle us, and then so it goes. So therefore, that's the second part in that, to say we want to have a situation where we are really supported in the process. If they have a problem in terms of capacity, they must capacitate Parliament. If you look at this report, surely I think it was Johnny alone which did. I don't see the media person who went with us. I don't know if she was invited. And we don't have other support functions like content advisors, like researchers, people who must then, when we've done work, they must produce, you know, qualitative reports. This is not a qualitative report. This is just, you know, a recollection of, it's like writing an essay at school. Team of the students of the political work, that's it. Yeah, we're doing serious political work. That's why we're rejecting this report. This is serious political work that must have results at the end of the day that will satisfy the people of the country. For instance, we can't allow a situation where, you know, we're not depicting the clear picture on the government, because we're talking about the economy of this country that is getting taken by force, by criminal elements in the country. Therefore, our report must then reflect that so that we can be able to then take the necessary action. You can't go to a fellowship with a wishy-washy report like this, a paper report like this, and say our recommendations are based on this report. Because they also would need something that would test any legal challenge. And then show that the reason why we're taking this. Because out there, there are people who are opportunistic. There are groups who are claiming to be human rights, you know, representatives, and so forth, all kinds of groups, where when a serious action gets taken, they would, you can get them making noises. Even now, when police take serious action against criminals, you get noises from people who otherwise, on one hand, would say government is doing nothing about the criminals, about the crime in the country. But then when actions are taken, they stand up and raise human rights violations and all of that. So therefore, we need our work to be watertight, so that when they come up, we are able to simply hit them with a report and say, in your situation, what would you have done? Would it be right that workers must die, killed by criminals? Would it be right that the wealth of the country must be raped by criminals and all of those? So I think, therefore, that's what... So I'm saying, therefore, members, I have began to draft that, but I was waiting to see what quality of report are we going to get, so that we say to Parliament, either you serve us or you find people that must give us that service properly, so that it enables us to do our work as Parliament. I can't sit in my office and be responsible for administration, meanwhile I must give leadership in terms of what must happen. So that paradigm shift, we spoke about it when we came here. Some of them will know that they are labeling us as newcomers who want to shine. But then, that's their own view, but we are here to serve the nation, and that's what we will do. Yeah.
Thank you very much, sir. I just want to, with regard to the, what to call, to the, our secretary of the committee, that, you see, I don't know if it's possible, but I think it's impossible for us, because this institution is filled with this IT tradition. very advanced in terms of IT. So that I think next time, Chair, I want to propose that you know, we need also to equip our support staff. Like, for instance, if we go out on this oversight schedule, at least we should have something like a tape recorder, like the lady, I don't know, she was the Yeah, they should be also, she was in media. They should also equip our support staff, our secretary, with a tape recorder, or MP3 player, or a camera, if it's possible, even a video, video cam, you know, so that they capture all these things. Because right now, this exercise that we're doing now, as you correctly put it, actually, it's like school is counseling, where you have to say, hey, you took a holiday to somewhere. What did you see? So we have to always think about this thing. So, but if he had a tape recorder, it was going to be easy for him to do all that type of work, including the camera. If possible. Maybe we need to make a proposal to Parliament to say that no, we need them to equip our support staff. Thank you very much.
Chair, my concern is about the researcher. I don't know who he is or she is. Maybe I haven't seen her or him. I don't know. But how is that person going to help us? Because we never see him yet. I don't. Is it in place?
No. Shelley is coming from other quarters. Parliament is not yet given a researcher.
Oh, okay, then.
Oh. Well, I think the last thing you know was that we have made advertisements for several sectors. Mineral Resources is one of those for Parliament as a newly created, you know, department. So we don't have a researcher from Parliament. We do not have a content advisor from Parliament. And then we don't have a standing media person. Something is terribly wrong with this institution. Somebody came to introduce himself to us in our very first meeting to say I'm responsible for this committee. That's the first and the last day we This person who accompanied us on media, somebody who was just second. She is also responsible for some other committees. Now, these are some of the things that you know we are taking up, and I think we must all take up together with the WIPAC. When we sit in those meetings, we raise the agenda. We were told last week that there are advertisements for seven researchers. Mineral Resources is one of those. And that I would arrange a one-on-one meeting with the section manager to basically voice out. Because, for instance, where we are sitting, we are supposed to, before we move, if we're talking about oversight, we're supposed to be guided by the session, as you correctly pointed out, to say that preliminarily these are the developments in the industry around this particular matter. Let's look at the legal You know, at one stage we were told that in Parliament there's a researcher who has began to do work, but then that person left the work and went to do something that's within Parliament. We could have gone out there having had the benefit of being appraised by a researcher, that this is what you must expect. There are a lot of people who have written a lot of things about this case. At one stage, there was some photocopies of the writings done by one journalist who was following this thing of illegal mining with passion many years. And then that professor was supposed to give us. but also two were supposed to go up to know, I mean at this stage we should have been given five, whether manually or electronically. Of what law are we responsible for? So that we're able to then have that as a reference point. So we must find ourselves. You know, meanwhile we've got people that you know, are paid to do, you know, things, you know, for us. So I'm saying therefore that it's a whole web of a situation where you had, you know, officials that have entrenched themselves to an extent that they determine what direction Parliament takes. They have elevated themselves to that level. So now we must dislodge them from that and basically say, no, the other way around. Parliamentarians that must determine the direction of Parliament. Yours is to implement what we decide. If there are any consequences of erroneous decisions we take, we will bear the brunt, not them. So that's why we're insisting that there will have to be that paradigm shift. So that at some point, you know, the members of the parliament are recognized for what they are. If they fail, they must fail because they fail. But not to support them. That will not allow. For instance, I was looking at the other paper, looking at, you know, how this meeting is characterized. It's just a single sentence that says discussion on the oversight of staff. Oversight of what? How do you attract media to come and even how do you attract members of parliament? Because you've got supervision that are stressed. So now they look at the gravity of the order paper and see that this matter is important, we must then go in there. But in this instance, I was very brilliant. I saw this even yesterday. It just reads, I'll read it to you now. It says, discussions and possible adoption of draft oversight report. Oversight on what? What is the issue? That's why you see the room empty. Media, you know, people would look at this thing. They look at this thing on a daily basis before they decide what committee to go into. When they look at this thing, oh, this is their oversight report, fine. But then if you raise it, it's an oversight of illegal money, then it will attract their attention because it's a matter of national importance. In the manner in which these things are, you know, are appealing in our program. It's something that means there has to be a change in how, you know, these things are done. So yes, members, I think I hope that I will be representing what you do in that matter. I say goes to the section head, calling for the meeting with her and trying to correct the situation. And most importantly, to deal with this thing of the family and see what is it that they will tell us. Unless there's something else. That takes care of the business for today. We are expecting the department to appraise us. In that last week, the session rises on the 23rd of September. We're looking at the 22nd, the latest, when the department will come back to us on their 5-year plan, so that we can then be able, immediately coming back from this short recess, to then plan for our 5 years. In fact, we are running late on it. The deadline has been extended to the 18th of September, and already we're talking about the date beyond that, which means we will have to find a way. Definitely, the department will come back to us the latest on the 23rd. If you could give us an indication tomorrow so that we can provide for it in the program, that we will sit with yourself on the 22nd,
so that on Wednesday it will depend. One of the first, if you can then. But if you can come before then, it will take up also the time. Because then we all initial kind of refreshing to work out our own 5-year program based on what you shall have informed us on. Here we will also work out our own priorities. One of the priorities which I'm planning that we should remember even now, it will be good if you this parliament must be able to, must have done something on the mind health and safety situation. That's one of the priorities that we cannot leave behind. Secondly, we have to prioritize transformation. Transformation is not that we're talking about equity, we're talking about dignity, we're talking about the whole place of the community, we're talking about the whole place of women in mining, the control of the energy. We must find a situation where we are able to change the organograph of the company to reflect the demographics of the country. In a meaningful way. So that second area would then be transformation. Then also, we would have to move on legislation. It would be legislation and oversight. That would be one of our priorities. Maybe the first priority, let me look at my top priority. Or one other key priority that we need to refresh on would be the job creation. That counterpoints with the investor confidence. We would need to talk at length in terms of what are the impediments as seen by the investor in the industry, and talk at length about what is it that we must look at in terms of creating the jobs. For instance, the whole question of the establishment of the beneficiation industry. That industry still holds, some hopes for us. Because when you look at international experiences like your China, your India, they're talking of millions of job opportunities that have been created as a result of that. But we would need to, in our program, factor that in and see. We have asked you to do that in the last meeting, that we must be given the report of the oversight. If you remember when we were discussing the legacy report, we have noticed a trend where there are no reports at all. But some members, were taken aback because they know that there were reports, there were recommendations of experiences they've done in various countries, because those reports will assist us to see whether we must go back to them. We must go back to one other country, Canada, I don't know which other country, Australia, to see what we need to go and draw those experiences and actually implement, in establishing this industry. But then we don't want to do it for the sake of doing it, we must be informed by those reports. If they were not as such as a church, they would just serve as information to with us. So, colleagues, I'm saying, these are the four areas that at the moment are playing themselves into the minds of us and the public out there that then need to find a way of prioritizing. They are not outside of the priorities of the minister if you look at those priorities when the presentation was done last time. We discovered that also she is quite passionate about this area and would need to find each other in that process. So when we do our 5-year program, we'll have to also take those into account. But I will work on a document that unpacks these four areas so that when we engage on that, we engage with some clarity. And indeed, we are pushing for the work of the first parliament to be 70% oversight, 30% legislative processes, which means most of the time must be spent out there in the field, getting our heads. And indeed, I think we will be able to do it with the help of the industry,
because there are some commitments made by the industry in terms of some assistance that they can render with the help of the department in terms of pointing us to the right direction and other stakeholders in terms of handling the matter. So with that, I would want us to attend the meeting. I don't think that we have anything that will be scheduled for next week. Because I don't want us to do things to add more pressure in our management. But if there's something that we can put out in the department, especially on legislation, we can invite the department to come and take a look at what legislation is there. That would be some form of a workshop. But we need to know before the end of business tomorrow if that is possible to say. If it is possible, so that the committee person can send you a meeting for this Thursday, where we will be taken through at least what laws are there, even if it's not in depth, so that we have basic knowledge and we then can also access, you know, those laws. That's something that we could do last week, depending on the ability of the department. But then definitely that we could want to be here for 5 years.
Just a comment on what you've just said in terms of the laws. If that legislation is accompanied by direct challenges to the department, it brings out what the gaps are, or the strings are, or the amendments that need to be made in terms of the FPF, or even the policies, especially considering the fact that they're in a transitional period. So actually start making use of that opportunity to make sure that wherever they are gaps, we're able to fit that in already in terms of what we'll be doing on the legislation issue.
Thank you very much. I think among the priorities, the four priorities for the 5-year plan program, actually, I wanted to emphasize the question of time. In addition, it's very important to do the program. It's more especially for this. I'm not sure whether we're the only country that is experiencing that. And I don't know if the other communities that were here before ever went on another side and tried and checked if there was anything like that in other countries, or if we're the only country maybe who are experiencing that. Maybe I think we need to go.
Yes, thank you very much. Appreciate your attendance, department and the stakeholders. Next time, you'll be finding yourself better than